I can't have them? Oh, okay. I'm telling you, they are just good. You got to get them CDs out because I want to buy one for sure. Honey, you like that, huh? You know, this is the hardest time for you to listen. Did you know why? Because you're sleepy. You know, after you eat, you know, all that food rushes from your, all the blood rushes from you, not your food, but the blood rushes from your brain is what keeps you, you know, aware of what's going on around you. Down, it's helping you digest all that food. So I'm just going to encourage you, if you get sleepy, I'm going to come down and do the crowd and bop you on the head. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to talk to you today about the woman's worst sin. Did you know that I think there is a sin that we women do better than anybody else? You know, and one of the things that I've realized is as I grow older, I get worse at it. It's my favorite thing to do. Now you're really curious what it is. Well, you know, I got this robe on. Now, I could not afford to buy a real judge's robe. You know how much they cost? I checked it out. Remember how cheap I am? $150 to buy a used judge's robe. I don't know how much they are brand new, but I didn't think you were worth $150. So I borrowed a graduation gown from somebody for free. And I borrowed this, and I've done this talk before somewhere else, and I'm so glad I got this because one of the places I went like that, and I made an indentation on the pulpit. I didn't tell the preacher. I figure, you know, he'll just think he did it sometime or another. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at that church tomorrow, and I'm thinking maybe I ought to go up and confess it. What do you think? Yeah? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the faith that we can grow and learn to have, like the one that lady talked about with the umbrella. And Lord, as we talk to these ladies, I pray that you'll make us more aware of our actions. And as we're aware of our actions, help us to be better to each other. You know, Lord, it's a shame when Christians can't get along. It's a shame when our homes are full of trouble and arguing and just problems. So just please help us, and we'll give you the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Does that mean the battery's low? No? Okay. I'm just making sure you weren't turning me off. I'll come up there and bop you. No. I'm sorry. He's ducking down. I don't blame him. I would too. Whose husband's up there? Whose husband? Somebody's husband up there? Oh, it's your husband. I better be good. Well, what I think that we women are so good at, and I think it's one of our worst sins, is being judgmental. You know, I can come into a room and start making judgments about whether you're a clean person. You know, I go to your houses all the time. You know, when I'm an evangelist wife, you know, people invite us over to eat at their house. Can I tell you something? I am terrible about your refrigerators. I don't even want to look at your refrigerators. You know, if I see a bunch of junk, crumbs and bunch of stuff on the bottom, it just grosses me out. You know, I judge you, think you're a slob because of your refrigerators. But now listen, you come to my house, my refrigerator looks pretty good, but the rest of the house is just chaotic, you know? And some of you would come to my house and say, what a slob she is. But if you come look at my refrigerator, it's spotless, you know? But isn't that how we are, though? One of the reasons why I noticed this was a few years back when that big world leader, Mandela, isn't it? You remember when Mandela, when he died, and President Obama and his wife went over to be at the funeral? Well, the only way I know what's going on in this world is I have AOL, my email, and I check emails every single day of my life. And sometimes I'll click through, if I got a few extra minutes, I'll click through the news reports, you know. I don't read all of them, and, you know, curiosity sometimes gets me on some of the stuff, you know, but so I'll just click through them. Well, that one of those days, whenever Mandela died, I saw a picture, and the picture was of President Obama sitting talking to this good-looking woman who was also a diplomat, some kind of a diplomat. Anybody see that picture? You remember seeing it? Okay. Well, then when I was curious about it, because then it had President Obama sitting there talking to this woman, and then it showed Michelle, the wife, her face was looking like, you know, like that. And you know how the news reporters are. The caption was, Michelle's jealous or something like that. You know, like, well, you know. And I thought, I sort of got mad for Michelle Obama. Now, you know, I don't even like her. You know, I respect the position of president and the wife, but I don't care for the way that, you know, the judgments and stuff that's been going at the White House. But I got sort of mad for Michelle Obama. I thought, what if that poor woman just sitting there because she has gas? No, now be honest with yourself. Do you look pleasant when you have gas in your stomach? You know, no, none of us do. But that reporter judged her and said she was jealous just because she wasn't looking. I mean, don't take a picture of me all the time while I'm speaking. I can't even imagine. Where's that photographer? We better make sure she doesn't do it, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying, though? How judgmental we are. You know, when I first got saved and I read the story about Bathsheba, you know, about Bathsheba in the Bible with David and, you know, and the sin and all that stuff, I thought, what in the world is that woman doing taking a bath up on the rooftop? You know, and I thought, is it air dry time or something? I didn't know. Did they not have towels back then? You know, I didn't know what to think when I first got saved. When I read that, and I thought, well, she wanted to flaunt herself. And can you see me going up on the top of my motorhome in your church parking lot? Not a very good picture, right? Well, but you know, knowledge sometimes helps you not be so judgmental, you know. Meaning that whenever I found out more about the times and how they took baths up there, that was common practice, and who knows why, but they did. And so I didn't judge her so bad, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't blame just her, you know. But all of us are very judgmental people. You know, the world has taught us to be judgmental. That's why the news reports are so bad for you, because it just emphasizes to you, make your own judgments, you know, draw your own conclusions, all that stuff. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. In 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5, it says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you," this is Paul talking, "or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself." You know, when you get very judgmental, you're a very prideful person. You know, when you think you have arrived, that's when it's easy for you to judge other people. But Paul said, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord." I don't mind being judged by the Lord. How about you? "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God." So Paul says here, let's don't be judges. You know, let's don't jump to conclusions about things that we see and things that we... Now, when do you have to be careful about being judgmental? First time is when you should be careful about being judgmental is when you... Be careful when you do something you're good at. All of you that are very good at something, like somebody here is good at decorating, you know, and doing flowers. Well, it's very hard for you to walk in and see somebody else have put flowers on the pulpit if that's what you do on a regular basis. You have a tendency to judge and say, well, that don't look so good. Why did she put that flower there? Why didn't she put it? You know, that's just how we are. Now, I'm going to tell you a true story. I think I'm pretty good at watching the time. When I'm speaking, you know, I think you give me a schedule, Miss Wendy, and I think I'm pretty good at watching my clock, you know, and being careful to be done on time, you know, and I'm sort of pride myself on it because, can I be honest, I've been at enough meetings where women that spoken with me, they've gone over. You know, they go over so bad that then you only got 10, 15 minutes to get this whole thought across. You know, right? So I think, you know, I'm pretty good at this. So there are some people, when I hear I'm going to be with them, I think, oh no, you know, Lord, help me with my spirit, you know, because I already know they're going to go over. They're not going to keep the schedule. You know, do you know that speakers, we're human? You know, we do things like this. So because I think I'm good at it, and because I think I'm thoughtful about watching the time and your schedule, I get judgmental about people that don't do it. Well, I was in a ladies' meeting in Southern California, and I was doing a split session. Now, a split session on child rearing. Now, you know, I'm 57 years old. My kids are all grown. I think I know something about child rearing, you know, but nobody ever asked me to speak on it, you know. So I think, oh, this is going to be so fun. I got to speak on child rearing again, you know, and I was just up there waxing eloquent and in the split session. And the lady that was in charge of the split session, she's getting funny looks on her face. You know, I'm looking back there and she's just looking, and I could tell something was going on, but she didn't say anything. So I just kept waxing eloquent and going through all these points, and all of a sudden, the coordinator of the meeting came in. You know, like Miss Wendy's the coordinator of this meeting. She walked in the back door, and I looked at her, and I said, Miss Tammy, I said, is there something wrong? I said, is the time up? And she said, the time is up. I had went over 20 minutes, something like that. I mean, ridiculously went over. You know what I think? I think God said, Loretta, I'm going to show you ain't so hot. You know, let any man take heed lest he fall. You know, when you think you are so good at something, you better be careful about that. Because then your pride gets in the way. And then you start judging everybody else whether they can do that. You know, you can think of anything about that. When you think you're pretty good at picking out clothes. You know, I don't like skirts like this. You know, I wear them because they're kind of Western. You know why? Because they're... You know what you have to do when you go to the restroom in a skirt like this? You have to pull it all up and almost wrap it around myself and tie it up here. You know, so it doesn't, you know, get in the toilet. And then, lo and behold, I don't know that you people down here in North Carolina aren't like this, but I wear hose all the time. You know, I just think it keeps me from jiggling. You know, Miss Mary said, you don't have your stomach. No, because I got all this other stuff down here that jiggles all like Jell-O all the time. You know, so I like to wear hose, you know. And so when you wear hose and you wear these kind of full, you know, it's kind of interesting sometimes. One time, you know how I told you about my thing with McDonald's senior coffees? I was driving through this in Indiana, my home state, my home area. And I said, oh, I got to go to the restrooms before I go get the coffee. I'll go and run in here and go to the restroom, and then I'll go get my coffee. I'll be back on the road and go get to my meeting where I had to go. And so I ran into the restroom, and I came out, and I stood in line at the McDonald's at the counter like this, waiting to get my senior coffee, not coffin. And when I was standing there, the door opened at the McDonald's, and I felt air. Yeah, no kidding. I am not joking. My whole back end of this big skirt was tucked into my hose. You know, I start turning red when I think about it, telling you about it. You know, when you think, you ever walk out there and you think, I think I look pretty good, you know. And boy, you better be careful. God has a way of humbling you. So I'm standing there, and there's a lady standing right behind me, and I'm thinking, why didn't you tell me that? Now, how many of you, if you were caught in that kind of a situation, how many of you would just walked out? Anybody like that? You say, forget this whole situation. Who cares about coffee? I'm just going to walk out. Not me. I wasn't going to give up my coffee either. So I pulled it down. I ordered my coffee. I walked out, and I said, I didn't say anything to the men and the women that were standing behind me. I just figured they got enough out of me with that free show. So be careful when you feel like you're pretty good at something. You know, it's very important for you to do that. The second time that I think you ought to be careful about being judgmental is be careful when you're around someone or in some situation that you don't like. You know, if you're uncomfortable or you feel, you know, like you don't fit in, or you feel, you know, if you're one of those kind of people and you don't feel comfortable, boy, you can really be bad about making judgments. We were in Kansas with a pastor's wife, and she's one of those pastor's wives that's, you know, she walks more sophisticated, you know, and holds herself very well, you know, and me, I'm just like this, you know, this is how I walk, you know, and I talk real big with my hands, you know, and all that. Well, when I was with her, you know, I was trying to, you know, be all things to all men. That's my verse, you know, I'm trying to be all things to all men. And so I was trying to act sophisticated. Well, this lady wanted to take me to get my fingernails done. You know, I told you, I don't hardly ever do that. You know, I don't hardly know how to act when I go to one of those shops, you know. And so she wanted to take me, and it was one of her church members' shops. Well, that's even more important that I'd be good when I'm at this church member's shop, you know. And then she took my daughter-in-law and my daughter. So the three of us went with her. When we got there, she was going to get her nails done, and then each of us was going to get our nails done. Well, you know, they gave me this guy, you know, to do my nails. So, you know, I'm not real comfortable, don't know exactly how to act when I'm in this kind of situation. So, you know, I sat there and I thought, you know, and he was a foreigner, you know, he spoke very broken English. And so, you know, and he was sitting there and I said to him, I said, you know, very nice, you know, shop you have here. And he grunted something, you know, I don't know what he even grunted, but he grunted. And I thought, oh, I got to try again, you know, because I wanted to make a good impression because he knew we were visiting at his boss's church. And so I looked over and I saw this big cross over on the wall. And I said, oh, I love that cross over there. And then all of a sudden, Miss Mary, I noticed he had a cross on right here, you know, right here. And so I looked at him and God is my witness. You all believe me when I say I wasn't going to touch the man. You know, I just said, oh, and you got a nice cross on too. He said, in a very loud, profound voice, he said, no touch of my body. No touch of my body. I said, oh, and you know, the whole lineup, that preacher's wife, my daughter and daughter-in-law are looking at me like, what are you doing, Mom, down there, you know? And I said, oh, sir, you know, and I'm trying to fix it. You know, I thought, you know how you try to fix something and it gets even worse? Yes, I said, oh, sir, I was not going to touch your body. I was just telling you I like it. He said, don't touch my body. I mean, he was really mad about it. And I wanted to, you know what I wanted to say to him? You are so scrawny. Who would want to touch your body? But I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. And I said, I wasn't going to touch your body. I said, I was just telling you. And I started saying that. And he said a third time, no touching my body. And the genie and them look over me and said, what are you doing, Mom? And I'm thinking, oh, you know, when everybody in that whole place could have judged me that I was being a pervert, you know? Isn't that easy? If you'd have been there, you'd have thought the same thing. But I promise, I was being good. I was not doing anything. But you know what? It's so easy for us to make judgments against people. You know, especially when we're good at something or when we're in a very uncomfortable situation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You understand, we have got to be careful about making judgments about other people because we really don't know the whole situation. You know, me and my pharisaical ways thinking that you're dirty because your refrigerator's dirty. Do you understand that, how bad that is? You know, you, in your pharisaical way, because you come in my house and my credenza or my desk looks a little messy and you think, oh, you know, all of us making judgments. It's so bad for us. You know, I wear cowboy boots. You know why? Because I'm old. And they got that stuff that comes on your feet. Do you know what I mean by the stuff that comes on your feet? The extra stuff that you got to have sawed off. You know, if I came in here with sandals on, you'd say, boy, she don't know how to take care of her feet, does she? You know, I was going to soak in the bathtub and I brought my little sawler, you know, with me. And they didn't have a bathtub in this hotel we were in. It was, you know, I'd have had to stuff something it wouldn't have worked in that shower at all. But, you know, somebody, they could look at me and say, wow, she don't know how to take care of her feet. You know, I didn't know you're supposed to lather yourself with lotion all the time to keep all that soft. You know, I've learned so much, but you never told me. But yet it'd be easy for you to judge. When you look at somebody and you say, oh, they don't even know how to take care of themselves. You know, there are so many times when people are just ignorant. You know, they don't really know what they're supposed to do. They don't know. You know, some people don't know. There are so many people that they don't even know what clean is. You know, but we judge them. We put them down. You know, when Miss Robin was talking about how you wear your Sunday best, you know what? That is a great term, but it's a very relative term. What is our Sunday best? You know, for some people, wearing a khaki skirt, if you have one on, I'm not saying, you know, don't. But we got to be careful about judging because people come into our churches. I tell you what, when I first got saved, you know how she said she was the slit up here? No, I didn't have a slit. I just had real short. I thought I was doing good just wearing a dress to church, you know. We got to be careful about judging other people. Now, how do you be careful about judging other people? How do you do that? You know how you do that? By opening your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. Open your Bibles, all of you, to 1 Corinthians 13. I think that the only way to overcome being a judgmental person is by taking 1 Corinthians 13 to heart. And if you're not familiar what it is, that is the love chapter. And the word that God uses there is charity. And I think charity connotates that you have a lot of patience with other people. You see, that's what it takes. I might be talking to somebody here, and you've got a daughter-in-law that didn't grow up like you, you know. She doesn't take care of your son like you think she ought to. You know, he has to cook his own breakfast. And you got up every morning and fixed your whole family breakfast, and she can't even get up. She gives him a cold bowl of cereal. You know, we get all judgmental because somebody thinks differently than we think. You know, we got to be so careful. And you know, the only way I can be careful and put up with other people that don't think like I do, you know, I hate to tell you this, but going back to point number one, I think I know everything about everything. Anybody with me on that? The whole world, I can remember thinking one time in my life, boy, the world would be a better place if everybody thought like I did. But isn't that a prideful thinking? This world would be so boring if all of you were like me and getting men to say, don't touch my body. You know, some of you are so nice, you would never, you know, exaggerate. You wouldn't think of any, you know, you'd really apologize to somebody for stepping in front of them and really mean it. You are so nice like that. But if we really loved the way God wants us to love each other, we could put up with each other. We could care enough to try to influence the lives of somebody. To, you know, somebody took me aside and said, hey, Loretta, and they taught me, there's this little machine thing, a petty something. I don't know what it is. It's blue. What is it? Pet egg, something like that, that you scrape, you know. It works great. But I didn't know about it. You know, I didn't know, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and I get them long granny hairs in my eyebrows. How many of you are there? Have you ever seen anybody with a long granny hair in their eyebrow? Tell them about it, will you? Do them a favor. Everybody look around and see if you see any in anybody's hair. You know, and have you ever been with a man that had hair coming out of his ears? Whoa. Every time I cut my husband's hair, I cut all around his ears and his nose everywhere. I thought, oh, no, you're not going to have that. But isn't that funny how we're so judgmental? We don't love people, not the way the Bible wants us to love people. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13 together. And whenever you see the word I want you to put your name in there. You know, like I'm going to say Loretta. And you're going to say Wendy, and you're going to say Barbara, and you're going to say, you know, you're going to say Mary. Whatever your name is, say it. Take it to heart that God wrote this specifically for you when he said he wanted you to love people. Okay, so on the count of three, let's read 1 Corinthians 13 together, and you put your name in there. Verse number one, on the count of three, let's start. One, two, three. Though Loretta speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, Loretta am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though Loretta have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that's pride. Do you see that? Though Loretta knows everything. You know, that's God knew that's how we were going to feel. You know, because it's what builds us up. And it's a sorry thing when we have to build ourselves up and make ourselves feel good by bragging on ourselves. Okay, keep on going. And though Loretta have all faith so that Loretta could remove mountains and have not charity, Loretta am nothing. And though Loretta bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though Loretta give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, if you don't have love, God says here, it's nothing. Think about the person right now that you have the hardest time getting along with. Think about the person in your life that, can I be, you know, you just can't stand them. Do you have love for them the way the Bible love? You know, I owe it to all the people in my life to love them. And sometimes, Miss Angela, I got to pray for love for some of them because they're so hard to get along with. You know, especially some of my extended family. You know, a couple weeks ago I was home for a visit to my mom, and I texted my one brother and asked him if I could call him about a situation that my other brother wanted me to talk to him about. And he says, you know, I see him often enough, and if he really wanted to say something to me, he could say it. So if you have something to say, just email it to me. I had to ask God to give me love for him at that point, because I thought, you little snot, you're trying to say I don't really have anything to say for my brother. And you know how you get your feelings all, you know? You ever heard that, get your panties in a wad? Have you ever heard that? That's what we do, ladies. We read into what people say to us, and we have not charity. Okay, now let's go to verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. I hate that verse. Because I have all these excuses why I get provoked. You know, and it's everybody else's fault. They know how I feel about things. My kids told me the other day they're going to pick me up at the airport. They were going to pick me up at an airport, and they said, now, Mom, we'll be there right on time because we know how upset you get. And I thought, I get upset? You know, I must have really showed dislike for them to be late to pick me up one time. And now two different ones said that to me, and I thought, that's bad that I expressed that to the point where they think, we got to be careful because we don't want to get you upset, Mom. And I thought, and I said, I'm sorry. I must have really made you feel like, you know, and I apologize right then. And now I got to work on not being upset if they're late picking me up at the airport again. But you know, you should feel bad if somebody thinks you're going to get upset about something. Because there it says that is not easily provoked. You know, a good test, how much love do I really have, is how much do I get easily provoked? How much do I get aggravated at people? Keep it on going. Thinketh no evil. Oh man, does that pack a punch. You know, evil is intentional wrong. And when I think somebody did something intentionally, we just got to learn how to cut people breaks. You know, just cut them break. Verse number 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When Loretta was a child, Loretta spake as a child, Loretta understood as a child, Loretta thought as a child, but when Loretta became a man, oh, interesting there. You know that's a very loose term there. When Loretta became a man, Loretta put away childish things. Do you know sometimes I think God looks down at us and thinks we're a bunch of little kids. The way we treat each other, getting upset with each other, you know, getting aggravated. You know, he didn't do this, she didn't do that, he said this, you know, it's just sad. And it's all uncontrolled tongue. About half the church problems, Miss Ennis, uncontrolled tongue. Just you feel something, you just say it.
She said that, she did that, she meant it this way. And, you know, it's all judging too. Did you notice that? You've been judging jury all the whole time. I'm asking you to take your judge's robes off. Take it off, leave it off. Go by the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. Go by the Bible. If you go by the Bible, we won't be mean to each other. We'll be patient with each other. We'll be kind to each other. And if we do that, oh, our life will be different. Last two verses. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall Loretta know, even as also Loretta am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's really the whole key of our churches being better places. All you pastors' wives, I know you long for your women to love each other to the point where they'll get along and care about each other. I know you long for that, because if we are fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil, and when we let ourselves be unkind, judgmental, when we let ourselves do that to each other, it affects the spirit of our church. Then even more, it affects the spirit of your home. We just, let's have charity. Let's have the word love. Let it be ingrained in your heart and soul. Memorize some of those verses. If you easily get provoked, memorize that verse and quote it to yourself all the time. And remind yourself, I'm not supposed to get upset about this. I'm not supposed to. And try to retrain yourself. You know, one of the verses first verses I memorized was, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine. You know why I memorized that? Because I grew up in such a troubled situation that I realized my understanding was very broken. It was very tainted by what was acceptable behavior in my home. And I knew I had to retrain what I thought was right. And, you know, if you'd be honest with yourself, you'd say that for yourself, too, because we're all sinful creatures, you know. And to make a change, it takes the power of God. And that's what we need. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for these ladies and the chance that we have to be different for you. Lord, thank you for the challenge of realizing how judgmental we are. Would you speak to our heart? Help us right now. Put in mind the person that we're so judgmental against. You know, I'm thinking of someone. Lord, you brought somebody to my mind. And help me to have more love for that person so that I'll be able to put up with their differences. And then, Lord, help the ladies that are thinking of somebody. Give them wisdom to know how to overcome being provoked and unkind. Now, if your head's bowed and your eyes closed, you know, I just feel that we're supposed to have a little tiny invitation. We got the time. I'd like the pastor's wives that are here, come in here and line yourself up against, up in the front of the auditorium. All you pastor's wives that are here, come line up in front of the auditorium. This is just a short invitation. Now, if you are out there and you have had something against some lady in your church, okay, this is just a small invitation. It's not going to take long. Don't linger. But if you honestly know you've had something against a lady in your church, and you know it's caused some problems, I wish you'd come up here right now and you don't come up here and confess who it is. You know, don't put that burden on the pastor's wife that she's got to fix everything about it. But you come up here and let her pray with you about that situation. Okay, can you play an invitation song? This is not going to take long, so don't linger. But if you honestly feel bad that you haven't loved like you should have, and you know that your attitude towards somebody is affecting the spirit of your church, I'd like you to come forward and talk to your pastor's wife. Can you play some music for us? Let's all stand. This is confession time. It's good for the soul. Come to the pastor's wife. Let her pray with you about this situation. We need changes in our churches. Maybe she doesn't even know you feel that way about somebody, but you know what? It's okay. She doesn't need to know who it is. You don't even have to tell any names. Okay?
Part two of it is, maybe it's not somebody in your church, but maybe you have something against somebody in your life. And it's affecting your attitude. Maybe it's somebody you work with. You know, you can't change them by being ugly to them. Maybe it's somebody in the school that you work. Maybe it's in your own home. You have somebody it's hard for you to get along with them. I wish you'd come forward and confess that to your pastor's wife. You know, the Bible says that confess your faults one to another. Not without any names, you don't have to say anything, but come forward and talk to them and let them pray with you about that situation. We got time. We're early on our invitation, so we're fine. They're with you. These pastors' wives, they love you. They care about you all getting along with each other. This is so important to them. God's working, ladies. You pray. If you're sitting in your seat, don't be aggravated that somebody's taking your time. Just sit there and pray. Thank God if you don't have animosity toward anybody. We need this so badly. I'm so tired of going to your churches and seeing problems. We need to get along with each other. Sweeter in the eyes of God when somebody's heart's tender and they're confessing their humanity. There's nothing sweeter. Okay, you pastor's wives that are not praying with anybody right now, you can go back to your seats. Thank you so much for being willing to come up here. Thank you, ladies. You can look up here. Thank you for having open hearts. And just remember, this is not just for now. It's for later on. It's to help you be a better you and help our homes be better places for all of us to live in.